Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Now, a lifelong habit of collecting and acquiring the weird and curious things, which are now in studio with some of them anyway, have led our next guest to opening what's been described as Ireland's strangest museum. And he's here this morning. He's got some of the things with him from the Museum of Curiosities. This is on Pembroke Street in Dublin. What a sight that is. Paul Mangan, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us about the Museum of Curiosities. What goes on there?
So the Museum of Curiosities, as you were saying, is aiming to be Dublin's strangest museum. What have we got in there? Well, there's things like strange taxidermy, haunted dolls. We've got all kinds of weird medical devices from the past, that sort of thing.
Okay, right. This is if you want your family to get creeped out, if you enjoy watching that sort of thing,
exactly.
This is the place for you. This is a lifelong dream of yours. You wanted to open a museum of odds and ends you've collected from throughout history.
Absolutely, yeah. So I was a huge museum fan as a kid. I was always going to the Dead Zoo, the Natural History Museum, you know. So
Dublin, yeah.
Yeah, so that's basically my dream job. So I'm trying to create that right now by...
Wait, what was your favourite thing in the Dead Zoo that really kind of said, yeah, I want to...
I loved the beetles, but all the insects and all that. But
I see, okay.
Maybe my ultimate one was the sunfish, if you remember
yes,
that.
Yes, of course.
Particularly
yeah.
strange looking thing.
It's closed for renovations, I think, at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah,
anyway,
so.
Back to your museum. How many things have you collected over the years?
Absolutely hundreds. Like, I have a completely deranged spreadsheet at home that would have a list of everything that's in there, but certainly in the hundreds.
What's the kind of the maddest thing that you've put on display in the Museum of Curiosity?
Well, it might be one of the ones I have with me here.
Oh, right,
this
yeah.
Is, this is a supposedly haunted
very
sleeping
weird
bag
looking things.
Shaped like a clown. And that was actually donated to the museum. I did a call out on Twitter a few years ago when I was getting closer to actually opening a physical museum. It was an online museum before that. A guy from America got in touch with me and said he had a sleeping bag shaped like a clown, which he had from childhood, which was haunted, supposedly.
It's quite worn. Is this, what is it, 50 years old or something?
It's 1970, so he had to be coming up to 50 years.
Yeah. It's supposed to be haunted?
Supposedly. Now, I haven't had any experiences with that particular item.
Oh, right. But you have had...
I have had ghost experiences, yeah, in the past. But I, as I collect more and more of this stuff, it seems to be backing off.
What have you had a haunted experience with?
Well, I actually saw a ghost years ago. But in terms of the objects in the museum, we have things like haunted dolls, supposedly, anyway. And but I haven't actually... But the museum, yes, that sort of thing. You know, I'm hoping that this clown might become like the mascot of my museum.
It's utterly horrible, the clown thing. I mean, why would someone make a sleeping bag in the shape of a clown?
Yeah, it's hard to comprehend.
That's what museums do, tickle our... curiosities and everything.
Yeah.
What else have you brought in here? Because you've got something utterly terrifying.
Yeah. This is the Trinity Nose Shaper. So this was a 1930s, kind of a precursor to modern day plastic surgery. It was supposed to give you the perfect nose. So Oliver, if you ever want to perfect your nose, you just need to give this thing a go.
This is three straps around. You've brought in, helpfully, a mannequin to make it look extra scary. It's kind of like Hannibal Lecter, but just on the nose.
Yeah, exactly. You strap it around the head and then you have these little screws to tighten it around the nose. It absolutely did not work, but apparently sold in the thousands.
It would have shaped your nose, but not in the way you might have imagined.
Indeed.
Is that an American or an English thing? Or
that was an American device, yes. And it was targeted at like aspiring actors and models and so on. And it's kind of, you know, so mirrored in the modern day sort of pressures to look your best or whatever.
Oh my God, nothing has ever changed. That's from the 30s. Yeah. It's nearly 100 years old. And it looks like a 5-key piano that you've brought in with you.
That is the Digitorium. That's the oldest device I have here with me. So that's the 1860s device, which was for piano players, aspiring
19th
piano players.
Century.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be for people who wanted to kind of practice piano at home without driving everybody completely insane with the noise of the thing.
Wait, people are suddenly interested in this.
Yeah, but actually it was taken off the market because apparently it was causing more harm than it was doing good.
So it's entirely made of wood. It's called a digitorium.
Digitorium.
You're not making this up. This is a real thing people bought.
And you would rest your hand here.
You rest your the underside of your wrist on that wooden bit.
And you'd just play with the
and
five
you've got
keys.
Five keys. So we're supposed to exercise your fingers.
Yeah, it was around the time when piano playing was becoming more of a commonplace thing for the middle classes and that, you know. So all kinds of ridiculous products like this, which in some cases look like torture
those.
Devices, were coming out.
Will they kind of wear in the end, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Never quite caught on. How do you decide what was going to be put onto your museum in Pembroke Street?
Well, there's an element of themes. Like there's two rooms downstairs and one big room upstairs. Upstairs kind of focuses on the medical devices, all this kind of quack medical history. Downstairs, gosh, you've got smaller objects, and in another room you've got kind of taxidermy and strange kind of creatures, mummified objects, things like that.
They're all from the 19th century, I'd imagine.
A lot of it is 19th century. There's definitely a Victorian vibe to a lot of the items in the museum.
That's the bit you love, obviously, the dead zoo part.
Exactly,
like a
private
dead zoo. What have you got stuffed?
Oh, everything from a porcupine to a very large bear. We've got a lion, but we've also got some fantastical creatures such as a winged lamb, a two-headed calf.
Oh, God, okay.
Yeah, all sorts.
And I gather people are still giving you things.
Yeah, we actually had a kangaroo's paw dropped into the museum last week. So,
He
had just moved into a new apartment in Dublin 8, and that was in the cupboard, apparently. And he said, "I don't want that. Do you want it?" And I was like, "Yes."
And it's a kangaroo paw that's also fashioned into a
bottle opener.
But it's a real...
It is indeed a real... Taxidermy. I mean, it's probably a tourist piece, really, but I'm welcoming all kinds of oddities like that.
Okay. Never ends the collecting.
Yeah.
What's the beer warmer?
The German beer warmer, yeah. So that's a strange little device which was supposed to keep beer warm. Now, you might say, why would anybody want to keep beer warm? But it was a little vessel that would sit inside the big glasses and it would be filled with hot water. But the interesting thing about my beer warmer is that it's shaped like a priest on the outside but a devil on the inside. So that's one of the objects I show people when they come into the museum. I kind of give them a little brief introduction to some of the items. I show them a mystery object and they have to guess what that is.
The tour?
Yes, I'm doing absolutely everything. I do a little intro tour. I made the website, do the social media, I collected the thing. I'm probably a control freak.
Well, it's good to have a passionate person bringing you around a museum of stuff that you know. Have you done all the historical research on bits and pieces? The beer warmer, was that a real thing or is this something that someone...
It's a real thing. I mean, I've done as much research as I can and there's much more to be done on some of the objects because occasionally people ask me, you know, about the objects and for some objects I can ramble on for hours. For others, I'll just have to say, look, that's just a strange thing.
That's all it is. There is a butcher automaton. It's a robot, essentially.
Yeah, and these are the kind of automatons that used to sit in like an actual butcher shop, or we have a cobbler as well, and they're still working to this day. These are 1940s, 1950s. Yeah. The butcher in particular seems to be creeping a lot of people out.
Because they were meant to be fun things to advertise a shop, but now we look at them and horror movies, I suppose, have done strange things to automatons. There was a wrestling dummy from the 30s as well.
Yes. Someone actually came in and specifically said that they got a lot of very bad energy off that wrestling dummy, and I'm always interested in finding out what people think about the objects, which ones creep them out, you know.
And as for the people who love being creeped out, there are wax models which were showing various skin ailments which hopefully have been since cured by science.
Yeah, there's a lot of that kind of freaky stuff.
And by the way, do you sincerely want people to still send you things?
Absolutely, yeah.
You're not done.
No, I'm never finished collecting.
Where have you been storing these things all these years before the museum?
Oh, my poor mother's house.
Really?
So box upon box stacked up to the ceiling. There's been three unenterable rooms for the last couple of years.
Does she live in a mansion out in the...
No, she lives in the other two rooms in the house.
It's not a hoarding issue though, is it? You're collecting and storing and the spreadsheet.
I think the lines have been blurred between hoarding and collecting here. But
that's an actual thing that does affect people. But come here, it's on Pembroke Street. That's a very well-to-do street. You've got Louis Copeland and Matt Thrasher's famous restaurant there. I mean, how did you manage to fund and get access to a building that you can put a museum into in such a prominent site?
I think one of the reasons it was possible was that the building wasn't in a great state, so a lot of work had to be done. Me and my friends have been painting it and doing it up for the past 4 months, basically. It's a great location, though. It's close to other museums, not far from Stephen's Green, Merrion Square Park, etc. So, yeah, it's in the museum district.
How have you, you know, were you working museums before this? Did you...
I had done some work kind of tangentially with museums, so I've worked with Culture Night as part of the Culture Night team for the past 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'd gotten a little insight into, you know, how museums worked, and I'd gone abroad and seen lots of museums, like the Museum of Curiosities in London, for example, and there's various museums across the US like this, and I just thought, why doesn't Dublin have something
like
this?
That's true. The Americans are mad for this stuff, but they don't have anything very old, really, do they? But
well, true, but they have a real fascination for oddities and curiosities, yeah.
You've been just working all your life to fund this particular dream. Is it going well?
It's been going great so far. I mean, touch wood and all that, but I've been overwhelmed with the positivity of the reactions to people. I'm still waiting for the first person to come in and just point at me and say, "You're sick for collecting all these weird things," you know, but it's been...
That's a compliment.
Yeah. Well, I should take that as a compliment. People have really loved it so far, and we get all kinds of people in.
I presume the building, is it slightly tucked away, because a Museum of Curiosities probably shouldn't be so... prominently, you have to go down a...
It is quite like, it's full of nooks and crannies. It's got two rooms downstairs and a big room upstairs, as I say, but it's a narrow little, quirky little building.
Very good. Someone's in touch saying beer warmers were still common when I worked in a very traditional hotel in the Black Forest, this would be in Bavaria, in the 1970s. Cold beer was considered very bad for your stomach. It would give older people cramp, says Lulu.
That's very interesting, because I actually had a guy in a while ago who was saying that we used to do something similar to this in Ireland back in the day. He said he remembers his granddad putting a hot poker into the Guinness,
That was to foam it up, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But Paul Mangan, thanks a million for coming in. And good luck with this. The Museum of Curiosities is open Wednesday to Sunday. Museumofcuriosities.ie is the place to go.